We're going to attempt to go through Genesis chapter 1 through 12. In Latvian it would be Pirmoja Mozus, chapter 1 through 12. But before we do, it's the beginning of the Bible, and the beginning of the year, and I think it's appropriate to take a look, just to get the big picture of what are we here to do, what is the Bible all about, and then we'll kind of zoom in closer and closer to these chapters. And then as we look at these chapters, we'll zoom in even more to see who it's speaking about. And I have a conviction that's driving this whole Bible study that I'm very excited about. There's one verse that is kind of the theme. I think it's going to be the theme of the year. And if you have a Bible, you can open to Luke chapter 24, verse 27. Luke 24, 27. Jesus is speaking. He rebukes the disciples because he has risen from the dead and they didn't quite understand or expect that to happen. But he said, shouldn't the prophets have, didn't the prophets already tell you that the Christ would suffer and rise again? And they were slow to believe. And then after that, it says this, they then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. So beginning with Moses, Moses is the author of the first five books of the Bible. It's called the Pentateuch. In Latvian, I like how it's just first Moses, second Moses, third Moses, fourth Moses, and fifth Moses. He also explained that the other parts of the Old Testament were about himself. The prophets wrote about him, from Isaiah to Jeremiah to all the minor prophets and Daniel, and even David was considered a prophet, and he wrote the Psalms, and there's other scriptures like this verse that say that you can prove Jesus is the Christ by looking at Moses, by looking at the Psalms and the writings, the poetical writings, and the prophets. The prophets of the Old Testament not only predicted that Jesus would come, but there's many types and shadows that we're going to see. A type is like a pattern. There's historical people written about in the Old Testament, but some of them, their lives parallel the life of Christ. And you can see things that are similar that compare to the life of Christ that surely we're inspired to be in the Bible because it illustrates, it prepares the way. It's like a shadow of the reality. You see sort of an outline of a person's figure in their shadow. But when the person comes, then you see their reality. If you only see the shadow, you can know a little bit about him. But if you see him in person, then you would know him as he is. And So there's the types and shadows of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, as well as prophecies. And then we'll get into the names of God and the names of Jesus. The name Jesus does not appear in the Old Testament. It's a Greek name coming from the Hebrew name Yeshua, which is the Hebrew name that means Yah, or the Lord. Shua saves. So the Lord saves. And that's where the name Jesus comes from. And this is why when he was born, they said his name should be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So I'm kind of giving it away, but the secret to understanding the Bible is this. Look for Jesus Christ. Seek Jesus Christ. Because the Old Testament, as we read here, it's written about him. That's not so obvious to everybody. It's more obvious that the New Testament is written about him. Sometimes there's a title in, you're between Old Testament and New Testament, and you look in your Bible and it says the New Testament of Jesus Christ. Well, you look in the Old Testament and the title that's given to that is the Old Testament. But I'd like to suggest that it's the Old Testament of Jesus Christ. And we'll explain as we go through the Old Testament in 1 year, 52 weeks. The differences between Old and New Covenants, and what happened when Jesus Christ came. So that's just kind of sharing from my heart the general direction that we're going with these Bible studies, just so you're not too shocked that I'm not going to go verse by verse. I'm not going to teach every single story, or I might not even mention every chapter, but today I will. I'm confident that the more time we spend just actually looking at the scriptures, that's my goal. It's not to twist anything or to make a method try to make a unique method. But it's really, what is the heart of the Bible? And I'm so excited about looking for Jesus in the Old Testament, because as we looked at just this one verse that you open up to, Jesus was walking with his disciples several miles, explaining to them from the Old Testament. Paul the Apostle does the same thing. In the end, at the last chapter of the book of Acts, he calls the Jewish people in Rome to his house, and he spends all day, from early morning until late in the evening, going through the Old Testament scriptures to show how God was preparing us for the coming of Jesus all along. And all of the law, all of the commandments and things that seem totally burdensome, they really help illustrate the holiness of God and the reason why we needed a Savior. But at the same time, you don't find just law in the Old Testament. There is a lot of grace. There's a lot of pictures of that point to the sacrifice of Christ, and that God would want to redeem people for himself that could not do it on their own. And I think that's what I get most excited about, is finding the grace of God in the law of God. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And what I'm attempting to do in these 52 weeks is to show how the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are one God. And the law, in another verse, says the law is our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. So we'll use the law as it's intended to be used to lead us to Christ. But once we're with Christ, the Bible says, we're no longer under the law. But I think as we go through it chapter by chapter today, you'll get an idea of what the 52 weeks might be about. Jesus Christ is the center of the Bible. As I've already talked about, he's written about in the Old Testament and New Testament. Someone once said that he's concealed in the Old Testament and revealed in the New Testament. That means it's not so obvious that it's written about him in the Old Testament, but when he shows up, when he's born, when you see him in the flesh, then he's revealed. But what I'd like to do is use the New Testament to reveal him in the Old Testament. Using the Bible as a commentary on the Bible is probably the best way to go. There's a lot of commentaries out there, but when the New Testament writers are inspired by God to interpret the Old Testament, then that's what I'm going to go to first. So beginning with Moses, it said, the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. How do we know that? Well, for one, I take it by faith in what Jesus said. Jesus quoted from Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the last four of the Pentateuch, and said that Moses spoke. Moses was writing. And Moses was the man that went up Mount Sinai and spoke with God face to face. And his face shone. His face was shining when he came down the mountain, because he had a revelation of God. He couldn't see God in his full glory, but he was definitely a prophet. And a prophet is somebody that God speaks through. So being moved by the Holy Spirit, he wrote the first five books. Now, Jesus didn't particularly attach Moses' name to Genesis, but when you look at the first five books of the Bible, it's one story. Genesis flows right into Exodus. Genesis is the story before Moses' life, ending with Joseph, and then the beginning of Exodus, it starts to share about the end of Joseph's life, and then the slavery that the Israelites were in Egypt, where Moses was born. So it's all one story, and it flows together. And so there's no reason to doubt Moses' authorship, unless we had some other motive. And there are people that try to criticize the Bible and say, oh, it wasn't really written by who it says that it's written by, because they don't really want to believe it. They want to have new theories and make themselves look like scholars. So they to be a scholar, you have to come up with an original idea. And they're starting to run out of original ideas. So there's this higher criticism that would not believe Jesus when he says that Moses wrote Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and by extension, Genesis. Today, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1 through 12. The word Genesis means beginnings. And in the book of Genesis, we have the origins of many important things. To name one, the whole entire universe. Where did it come from?
Was it the Big Bang?
The Big Bang. That's one theory. Well, the universe is that we. This is not going to be a creation versus evolution talk. To let you know what I'm up against, this one portion of scripture that we've chosen to go over today covers 2,000 years of history, or more. So chapters 1 through 11 of Genesis covers the time from Adam to Abraham, which is about 2,000 years. Abraham to Jesus, that's another 2,000 years. But we have the other 51 weeks of the Bible to be going through that time span. So in 1 week, we have a lot to cover. So I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to go into all the reasons why creationism is true, but as I said earlier, we believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. So if God says it, I believe it, and that settles it.
That's right. And we all say,
Amen. And as God said to Job, where were you when I created the mountains, when I spread out the solar system? Were you there? And no scientist can say, oh, I was there, I observed evolution happening. It's something that they take actually more by faith than we do, because they have no one that was there to tell them about it. But God was there, and we take God's word. So that's that. It explains the beginning of the solar system. Where did the sun, moon, and stars come from? In the first chapter, we see that everything was created. It says that it was created in 6 days. You know, days complete with morning and evening and light and night periods. And I believe that those are 24-hour periods. I don't think there's a reason to stretch those into 1,000 years or 1 billion years. We also have the origins of man. Where did man come from? Where did marriage come from? The institution of marriage says it was God who said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife. There we have a institution of marriage. And if God isn't setting up these institutions, it's not for man to redefine them today, to say, well, let's change what we want it to be. No, it's God that instituted it. We have the origins of wearing clothing. You ever thought about that? How do evolutionists account for the existence of clothes? Other than it's really cold in Latvia, so you need warm clothes. But down in the jungle, where it's warm, you don't necessarily need clothes to be warm. But yet, people that live there wear them. There are some tribes that don't wear very much clothes, but there seems to be something in our moral nature that understands the shame in wearing your private parts because of sin and the fall. Genesis also gives us the origin of culture and art and music. Some of Cain's descendants were the first ones to make musical instruments and craft art. We also have the origins of death. Why is there death? Where did death come from? The origins of evil. What was the first time that evil came into the world? And what was the result of that? the origins of sacrifices in the Old Testament, the very first times that sacrifices were offered to God. The origins of languages. How come there's so many different languages in the world? Well, Genesis tells us about where all the nations came from, where all the different races of people came from. And then the origins of faith in God. I think that is one of the important things to understand. I believe the Christian faith didn't start when Jesus stood on the mountain and gave his Sermon on the Mount. The Christian faith started in the very beginning when God created Adam and Eve, and he walked with them. And when he revealed himself to every generation, there was a relationship with him that he wanted to have. He wanted them to trust him. All the way back to the beginning. Now, the outlines for the next 3 weeks. We're going to go through Genesis in 3 weeks. That's very fast. 50 chapters. Today, we're covering 12 chapters from the time of Adam to the time of Abraham. That's 2,000 years. Next week, we'll cover three generations. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're called the patriarchs, the fathers. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The third week, we'll see the sons of Jacob, and Jacob is also called Israel. So the 12 sons of Israel, which became the 12 tribes of Israel, they multiplied and they became the nation of Israel. So the story of Genesis is the story of how God developed the nation of Israel. And the purpose, why the focus on Israel? Well, as we'll see, God has a special plan for Israel, because they would be the nation through whom the Messiah would be born. Messiah means anointed one, the Christ, the chosen one who would redeem the people. And so we'll see some messianic prophecies, promises about him coming.